if you don't kind of already intrinsically know this, that it's good to maybe understand the need for the change, because employees are changing and employees don't want to work for these low wages anymore. And they want to make their time and their investment mean something. And they want more than just money. They want to feel value and they want to feel respected. And the other thing that's shaking this up is automation and AI. And honestly, from my perspective, this is bringing some pretty unreliable and unimpressive results. I mean, just look at all these massive losses from these automated checkout stands. Target and many other stores are now realizing the losses on those are greater than just them paying their employees to do a job well done. And plus, like, the other thing you have to think about with this automation and these, you know, self-help kiosks is what kind of experience are we giving our guests if they're just going to order from a robot? Like, especially when every other lazy and unimaginative business and concept, they're already doing this. So there's no service. There's no standing out. You all look and feel the same, like these boring cutouts, just like these other cookie cutters. You're not cool, and you have no edge. You're not selling an experience. And now, since you don't have an experience that you're selling, you're just selling a product, and a widget is just a widget. And now the only game that you have left is lowest price wins. And good luck being cool using that model. The other thing is low motivation is plaguing the workforce. And this goes back to what we just talked about. But the employers seem to want to blame it on the employees. And honestly, the employees don't trust the employer. So if you want to question your employees, or you want to micromanage them, or you want to lack respect for your staff, why would they be motivated? The only thing they're going to be motivated to do is find a new job. If you want motivated staff that actually looks forward to their work environment, you have to make it irresistible with a culture of cool. Because like I said, there's distrust on both sides right now. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to hunker down? Keep complaining about your employees or the pool and create this self-fulfilling prophecy? Or are you going to realize that maybe you are a good boss, but there's a lot of bad bosses out there? And a lot of people think they're four-letter words. And are you going to realize that a huge chunk of your employees in the employee pool, they've been misused and they've been lied to from all these previous bad bosses? So you can't blame them for being weary. But what you can do is you can embody the change that you want to see. And you could be worth emulating. Because trust is never just given out. We know this has to be earned. So don't cry about your staff. Create a culture of cool in an irresistible environment instead. And then you won't have to convince anyone. Because your pre-existing staff, they're going to sing your praises. And the new employees will find trust quicker. Because their peers are going to tell them during training that you're a great person. And this is a great place to work for. Instead of what most people are hearing during their training. And honestly, let's just divert real quick for a second. Because I want to talk about how much shit is talked on a venue during training. Like, do you realize no matter what color, what rose-colored glasses that you try to paint everything in for your new staff, your new hire, that your old staff and your regulars, they're going to tell them the truth real quick, like day one. And that's why often, and I don't mean to laugh at this, but this is like why often that every new hire is just a carbon copy of the last bad apple you just got rid of. Because they hear all the dirt on day one. And this molds them into this the same culture that's been present. It all starts with culture building. And so the last thing we're going to address on this section is the gig economy. And, you know, all these people are taking second jobs. And if my first job pays so poorly that I have to go get a second job that pays even worse, then I'm just straight in survival mode. And then if that's what's happened to your staff, like, when do they get a chance to rest or to recharge? When do they get a chance to handle their personal business or have time for personal enrichment or finding joy in the companies of others? And this all goes back to what we were talking about earlier about productivity. Are you just trying to put a body in a space for a time? I'm not. Or are you looking for production and intrinsically shared goals? As an employer, if your staff is having to work gig jobs or second jobs after they leave you, that should be a red flag. Let's switch gears a little bit here. And I'm going to go into the philosophy behind the culture of cool. And so I'm going to elaborate on the philosophy that kind of drives the culture of cool for me. And we're going to be focusing here on more than just the financial incentives. For me personally, cultivating a genuine positive culture of cool, it's really about having a job that I love, man. You know, it's like, are you in an environment where you can give your best and all the people around you are giving their best too? And just as a system, what it allows is the employees to gain in happiness and enrichment. Well, the same goes for the managers and for the operators, because this reduces our stress and removes a need for so much oversight and micromanagement. And now I have an opportunity to focus on business growth and finding more cool collaboration opportunities. Plus, I want to be in the fun environment where everybody is and where everybody is collectively working together towards the same shared goals, where energy and ideas just bounce off each other, spinning into more and more cool ideas and solutions and opportunities, where we're making money collectively. And there's a positive social benefit from working here. It feels good. It feels right. And I know I'm improving my community on top of that. Plus, I like that people go where people are. And the best and the coolest people, they go where the best and the coolest people are. And when your restaurant is cool, like really cool, you're busy, you're successful, and you can easily share in the feast. And you can easily invest into an irresistible environment. So let's shift gears and let's next talk about investing into the employees' well-being. And I feel that we've already addressed the importance of considering the employees' overall quality of life, right? We've already talked about we have to provide more than a paycheck. And I don't want to just kind of be rambling on here and repeating myself. But what I want to drive home is we can't perform at our highest level, or we can't give our most productivity or our highest level success when we're worried about dirty laundry or unopened mail, right? Like, if we're keeping our staff in that survival mode, going from task to task or from shift to shift, never having time for rest or relaxation or reflection, then it's only a matter of time before they break. And these are real people. These are not just replaceable cogs that we just switch out. They're real humans here. And they have diverse backgrounds and diverse skills and talents and families. And I want you to think about this aspect, that these are your neighbors and these are your friends, or there's your family, or there are people in your community and those are their friends or their family. So I think the best thing to do here is just take a little bit, a bite out of that golden rule, right? And it's going to do unto others as we would want done unto us. And we have to think about that and think about the society and the community in which we want to live in. And in this image, like, which is the one you want? The one where everyone's pissed off and a whole bunch of unemployed people? Or is it the one where everybody in your community has a function and that provides benefits and everyone's proud and everybody has money and they could spend that money in your business and everybody else's business in the community? And so sometimes the responsibility of being a business owner is to focus on the bigger picture and not just focus on the greed or what the bottom line says. That we have to be the change that we want to see. We have to be that leader worth following. You have to be disruptive and be a trendsetter. And it's about production percentage, not time served. You have to give the employee a reason to want to give their all. So now we're going to dive into the three-step approach into cultivating culture. So let's introduce a structured three-step approach to building a positive work culture. And what you'll see I'm doing is I'm going to keep going back to the same three pillars that we've been talking about the whole time. Just taking it up another level each time. And so you actually never stop this. These three pillars must always be present. What I'm going to do here is we're going to use a rocket ship analogy. And so we're going to be talking about pre-launch and launching and then flying through the stars or getting to the moon. Now, some of you might already have decent foundations set. And maybe you've already gone through a really great pre-launch and you're past that already. So your first three steps might start at launch or might even start at flying through space. If so, just keep pushing. And so once you go to the moon landing, then go to landing on Mars and then leaving the solar system and going intergalactic. Okay, so you just have to keep going up the rungs each time. So we're going to start at the first rung of the three pillars. And so we're in part one and this is our pre-launch. And this is pillar one. And it's what we've been saying the whole night or this whole podcast. It's night for me. It might not be night when you guys are listening to this. But it's to create an irresistible environment. And so because we're at pre-launch, we just need to start with the basics and the necessities. So we talked about curb appeal earlier. And so we already talked about a little bit about what this means. But this is step one. So we just want to make sure the basics are done. Don't worry about all the extras and the frills. Just make sure it's clean and it's organized and it's intentional. The next thing we talked about is the floor plan and the flow. And it's the same as prior. We just want the basics done for right now. Make sure it all makes sense. Remove problem areas. Make it inviting and intuitive for the guests. And next is going to be followed by the employee benefits, right? So this is also the first level that we're doing in upgrading our staff. What we really need to be focusing on here is cutting out the cancers immediately. And then remember, as we're upgrading our staff, that we don't beg and we don't chase, that we have to be confident in the positive changes that we're making, and that our people, they're going to see what we're doing. And they're going to come to us. So keep upgrading those lowest rungs. I like to think of my staff as a totem pole. I just knock off the bottom rung and keep putting new people in. And we're going to do this until we get everybody to an A level. And then the last on this section is going to be for our guest benefits. And you have to make sure they're craving our environment. And that goes from a friendly staff to having great offerings, doing good promotions or having loyalty programs. Ways that we could always say to the guests, thank you, and that we appreciate you. Remember what we said in the beginning of this. We have to treat them like royalty. So the next pillar after that is a third pillar of pre-launch, and this is being a leader worth following. And so again, just like we've talked about already tonight, it starts with taking pride in you and your business and your offerings and your staff. Be that place that you would want to go to. Create an environment where you would be proud to have that royalty or that special person or that favorite person to come visit. And of course, this is done by leading through example. And we addressed all this earlier too, because it is so important in the pre-launch stage, because this is really all you have. And everything's in its infancy. And there's plenty of BSers out there. And so all eyes are going to be on you. And your staff is going to be watching to see if you're just like all these other bad bosses, or if you're practicing the way you intend to play. Are you putting in the dedication, and are you following through on your promises? And if you are, your people will happily follow you. And I guess I was wrong. The last pillar, that was the second pillar. Now we're on the third pillar of the pre-launch, and that's sharing in the feast. So irresistible environment, be a leader worth following, share in the feast. And this starts by reinvesting in your irresistible environment. Funds are often limited in the beginning. And we have to make sure, even if they're not limited, that we're using our money wisely in the right area. And we don't even have our A-level team yet. So there's no point in getting ahead of ourselves here. Now, some tip pooling is a great place to start. And I would say start that from day one. And then maybe on your own, outside of your team, start to determine how you might like to see your tip pooling or your obtainable bonuses look like in the future. But at this moment, sharing in the feast is by you doing things that benefit the employee and the guest. From specials to improved equipment. This is not the time to be hoarding. This is the time to be pouring everything back into the business. And so now, that was step one. That was our pre-launch. So now we're going to go back to the same three pillars, or we're going to go step two. And this is getting ready to take off. And like I said, once we do step three, you could figure out your own step four or step five or contact me. We'll figure this out together. But now we're ready to take off. And things are starting to build. And the word is starting to spread. And our success is being whispered about. And we're starting to kind of become this underground cool. So we're going to go back to our three pillars. And number one is creating an irresistible environment. So now that we've done the basics and we're getting popular, now it's time for some bells and whistles. Let's invest and upgrade in some of the amenities or furniture if needed. Lighting is a major game changer. Find a local muralist. Do some cross promotions with some local artists. Let's continue to upgrade those perks and those lost leaders. And now that we're picking up steam, find certain days of the night that we could absolutely blow up. And this is what I want you to do. Don't focus on the money. Focus only on making the place packed. Okay? You want to make sure that that day that you're the coolest place on the street. And now, at the same time, you want to start thinking about upgrading your staff level. Until we reach the moon, just like I talked about, we want to keep looking at a totem pole and keep finding those weak links that are below the A level and start replacing them until we have someone that's better. And as we grow in popularity, more people are going to start to inquire about working for us. And this is why it's so important to blow up at least one night a week. Because people will see you busy now. And they'll see the real potential that's going on here. And the cool people with their own following, they know what's going to be cool, and they're going to want to get in on this. And the last part in this, and I'm not going to tell you to do this very often, but for this part right now is do a little outside marketing and get some cross promotions going on. And we really shouldn't be doing much outside marketing for long. But for right now, you have something worth showing off that you haven't shown off yet. And you need as many eyes on your business as possible because you're doing a great thing, so people are going to want to keep coming back. So be proud of what you built and share this with the community. So now we go back to the second pillar, finish the first pillar, back to the second pillar, be a leader worth following. So this is where we really want to start getting our open door policy going, right? We still might have some staff upgrades to do, but for the most part, at this point, we now have a solid crew. And a lot of our employees are going to be long-term employees now. And we want to really start establishing our culture. Plus, things are starting to come at us faster. And so we're not going to nail every single promotion or special. And so getting that input back from the employees right now is going to be critical in not getting stuck in our ability to adapt to the best plans. And so this is why we're going to want to maintain this constant and transparent communication with our team. And this communication is going to go both directions. Like I said, you're building faith. So don't blow it, man. Stay genuine. Be true. Keep it clear and be honest about your desires and goals. Don't bullshit or don't sneak around with your staff. And also talk to them in intelligent terms about what's going on with the business. Go ahead and give your staff a glimpse into ownership mentality. And this is going to continue to build trust with your staff. And as you keep reinvesting in them and being true to your word, be that leader worth following. Communicate clearly. And their guards and their walls are going to start to lower. And they will see that you're serious. And your trust in them will create their trust in you. And then three, our last pillar for launch, is sharing the feast. And so let's start to build more. And let's maybe do some really strong, low profit, high promotion value marketing here. And we could focus this more now on internal marketing. Don't be afraid to do some outside marketing if you need to. But now that we're the cool spot for at least one night a week, let's try to make that two or three nights a week now. I want you to create specials that are going to bring people in and also increase your staff's tips. Get that buzz going, because now that we've hooked up the guests, it's time to go above and beyond on those employee benefits. Create special things for them, like we talked about, like family meals, or give them the sports tickets, or do employee-only specials. And plus, now it's time to start to introduce the future rollout of the profit sharing, or the tip pooling, or whatever you're going to do, the employee ownership. Let's take this time to get our T's all crossed and our I's all dotted. And we should be finalizing this plan and getting to roll it out. Another aspect of this that I want you to be thinking about and doing is cross-promoting with non-competing businesses. And now that we're busier and we're growing in popularity, let's collaborate with other up-and-coming bands or other even established brands. We're going to be showing off our coolness by being seen with the other cool businesses, right? Because this is what we talked about. People go where people are. The cool kids hang out with the cool kids. So find the other cool brands and start building and establishing relationships with them. So now, word number three. And so we're going to repeat the three pillars all over again, but now we're rocketing through space. And like I said, you have to keep this going. This is a way of life. We never stop this. You always continue to stay focused on creating an irresistible environment, on being a leader worth following, on sharing the piece of the pie. So we're rocking through space, or we might be getting our moon landing on. So again, we're going to start with pillar one, taking that irresistible environment to the next level again. So entertainment's huge on this. So bring in entertainment you can, or other companies like paint companies or axe throwing companies or anything else that's going to bring some other people in, or use cross promotions. You want to create Cheers types environment here. Build super strong loyalty and referral programs. And this is all tying back to our guests because we want to give them strong benefits and promotions. And again, let's do another ambiance upgrade here. Let people know that we're cool just by the way we look or feel. Pillar two, be a leader worth following. And this might be like reducing your own personal compensation and increasing the profit share. And make sure that you're part of the profit share yourself. Again, this is rules for me, or not rules for thee, not for me, right? You have to be a part of this. We're leading by example, and you're the trendsetter. You got to follow what's right and be led by your heart. You also have to empower your staff. Remember, like we were talking earlier, rising tides lift all ships. You need them as much as they need you. See, we both bring in different aspects here, and nobody's above anybody else. We just have different skill sets and different job functions. And the last pillar is sharing in the feast. And by now, we should have established a strong profit-sharing program or obtainable bonuses. And this should be in full swing, and it should actually be paying out now. Or at least they should see the transparency and seeing how close they're getting to being profitable and getting paid out. And then you got to continue to give those employees a platform to be heard and valued. And next is we want to make that massive impact on our inside marketing now. We're done with the outside marketing. Spend those marketing dollars on your exact target demographic that's already there in your business. And this is also going to help to create your environment to be irresistible because you're giving more to your people, which is giving them more reason to want to talk to other people. And I'll tell you, like for me personally, like I'm going to listen to the suggestion of a real customer at someone else's restaurant over a paid ad any day of the week. So don't waste any more money on advertisement. Spend that marketing budget inside your place. And so now let's start wrapping things up here. And a lot of this starts with assessing your current culture. And so back with the pre-launch, we have to evaluate our existing culture and our identity in all of our areas that have the opportunity for improvement. I think this all starts with the realization that the problem lies within us and the business itself. It doesn't lie in these external factors out here. Those are easy to blame, but that's not the problem. The problem is always going to be the business itself. And the solution has always existed inside of you all along, I promise you. And so you need to start to get vulnerable with yourself and ask, like, what are the real issues here that keeps guests from flocking to your doors? Why don't you have a line out the door? Get vulnerable with yourself. Open the door to elicit honest feedback from those who are closest to you. And yeah, this is going to be uncomfortable, man. But let me tell you, like, success and growth is always comes with discomfort. You're going to want to look at your business's curb appeal with fresh eyes. Like you were actually a customer coming in for the very first time. You've never seen this place before. And start there. Is it clean and organized? Does it say what it is that you are? Don't be confusing. And if your entrance is unkempt, what does the kitchen look like? And it's just like our physical appearance. This sends a message to what things look like behind the scenes. And this is one of the first steps in building trust. Are the specials just taped to the door? Or are you doing a wrap? Or is it nicely framed? Does it look intentional? Or does it just look like a quick afterthought? Same with your signage. Are you using a temporary banner telling everybody, I'm not sure if we're going to make it or not? Or do you have a beautiful and attractive permanent sign? Does your signage have burnt out lighting, or is it dirty? Again, showing people a glimpse of what things might look like behind the scenes. It tells them, like, is this person a corner cutter? Or do you have the pride and high standards? Because I gotta tell you what, the cool don't look like broke down hobos. Even if their style is grunge, it all matches and everything looks well put together. It looks visually cool. And so next is we want to evaluate that floor plan and that flow, right? Again, this is what we've been talking about. Does it make sense? Can a first-time guest intrinsically and instantly know the operational order? Or is it confusing or undefined? Make this simple with ease of use. Then, same with your curb appeal. You want to show pride. What message are you sending to your guests? Are you clean or are you dirty? Are you organized or are there those wires and cables everywhere? Are you warm and welcoming with your service? Or is it cold and off-putting? You want to be eliminating those pinch points or those points of confusion within the flow. Make sure that you've taken pride in your appearance. And the pride that you take, it's going to be contagious to your staff. And as you make higher demands for yourself and your business practices, you can do the same for your staff and for their service. And the ones that you're going to keep, they're going to be encouraged by this improvement in your new environment, and they're going to want to join in with you. And this is in part how we start to attract that cooler staff. Maybe we create uniforms or dress codes that allow both for quick and clear identification of who staff is, while also allowing them the individually to express themselves. And this all then starts to feed back and is part of an irresistible environment. Because when the customer walks in, it doesn't feel cold. They can feel the employee's own self-expression coming through. And that's going to make the employee feel better. And that's going to radiate onto the guests. And the guest is going to enjoy that. And they're going to be attracted and they're going to want to come back. So now to step two of taking off. We're launching. And we have our foundation set. And our appearance is now organized. And it's intentional. And we say who we are and what we do. And there is no confusion here. And when your employees recognize that shift, and you've been coming to them asking for input, and you've listened to them, and you've taken their advice, and now they're feeling encouraged and valued. And now that we've rid ourselves of the dead weight that was holding us back, your guests are now also seeing this change. And they can also feel that energy shift that we were just talking about. And this greater output and productivity that's now coming from your staff. And now we're prepared. Yeah. We're loaded up on rocket fuel and we are super ready to take off. This launch sequence has now started. And we've done our checklist, our pre-launch checklist, and now we're getting ready that we're going to blast past the atmosphere. So, what is that? Well, let's go back to the pillars, right? Because we have to continue an irresistible environment. I mean, now we're looking around saying, what else can we do to make this place more appealing for guests and for employees? Let's start by building those profit-sharing programs or those attainable bonuses that we were talking about before. And this is also going to reflect so well because when the customers hear this is how you pay your staff, this is going to make them want to support you even more. And the last thing that you want to do is you want to just continue to be that inspirational leader, eliciting their feedback. This has been a part of your success so far, so don't stop. make sure that you continue to have that clear open door policy defined as when you're available. And that this is a judgment-free zone. But also make sure you're finding time for those daily check-ins and one-on-ones. A swinging door that will allow you to communicate to them and vice versa. And now we're back to step three and we're rocketing through space. And remember that here we're continuously monitoring the progress and we're having to make adjustments. Because like we said when we started, culture of cool is a way of life. This isn't a strategy. This isn't a buzzword. It's not a poster on the wall. You don't just do some cool things so you're busy and then, well, I'm done. Because here's the thing about being cool. Other cool people, they just instinctively know. They know when you're cool, and they know when you stop being cool. And when you stop being cool, the cool staff's going to leave. And when the cool staff leaves, the cool customers are going to leave. And then finally, your environment's going to start to crumble, and it's no longer going to be irresistible. Because culture is like a plant or any other living organism. To stay cool, you have to continue to navigate the trends. You have to continue to maintain that trust. You have to exceed the expectations of your guest, and you have to engage in constant communication with your staff. And again, just like I've said the whole time, not every restaurant or concept or location has the same formula here. For every single staff or demographic or business goals, this is going to take some insight and some transparent communication and feedback. So don't expect to just go out here and nail it without any hiccups. Being cool isn't necessarily about being perfect. It's about your confidence and your commitment to excellence. And being cool in what it is that you do. When we talk about cool, by the way, this isn't just like jocks and cheerleaders. Like, no. Like any genre that you're in, you can be cool in if you're doing these things. That's what cool is. Everybody has a cool within their own section, with their own genre. And it's about that commitment to excellence while effortlessly doing what's the right thing because it's right. So listen to your staff and openly enlist their feedback. Because if they are intrinsically interested in the same goal as you, then they're going to help you innovate and problem solve. They will increase efficiency in their own department and section without any of your bandwidth. Sounds nice, huh? And so what's the conclusion here? Let me ask you, are you feeling like you can do this? Well, I know the answer. Yes, you can. Because part of being cool is that confidence to embody that you know you're cool and you know you're doing the right thing. So I gave you some action steps on pre-launch and launching and flying through space. And we just did an overview again of those three pillars. But don't worry. The next episode, we're going to dive deeper into just pillar one. Making your environment irresistible. And the next episodes following will focus on a different step for each episode. The following episode will be on sharing in the feast. And finally, being a leader worth following. And then if you can't wait till the next episode, or you feel that you want some direct one-on-one consulting, I am running a promotion for free consulting session right now on my website. So just go to my website. You can either go to riseabove.com or ryanransom.com. And you'll see a button there to schedule a free call. And this isn't a sales pitch. There's no obligation here from you. I'm telling you to do what's right because it's right. And this is what I believe in. So I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing what's right because it's right. And if I get into a focused session with you that's personal, and personalized and valued just to you, right? then you're going to be more likely to book my services or maybe suggest me to be a speaker at an engagement. Or you might just continue to be one of my loyal followers. So this promotion for me is about showing off of who I am and demonstrating my process. And so there we are. Again, really a huge thank you. Thank you very much for listening to the end. I know I talk a lot. I know that this was actually a lot of info. And so I'm really appreciative of your time and taking that time to listen. So thank you guys very much. I'll see you back for another episode really soon. And once again, this is Ryan Ransom Reveals, and I'm your host, Ryan Ransom.